Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. All right. Can you offer a smile with your seatmate? All right. So good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. This is the church that seeks to know God, love God, and serve God. I am Pastor Hazel Bates, your clergy liturgist, together with Liz and Carol. We are your worship leaders this morning. Pastor John will continue speaking on the series of Follow Me and a time to recognize and celebrate with our graduates. A connection card in your bulletin is our way to get connected to you. Have time to check them. And there are some ministry opportunities at the back, and you can sign them up. The prayer team will be happy to pray for you. A prayer card is also available at the back of the pew. Just write your prayer request, and you can place both the connection card and prayer card in the offering plate. And kids, no kids, just kid at heart. You can go now for the Sunday school. For our announcements, starting May 22nd to June 8th will be the rummage sale drop-off. The United Methodist Women in Faith will be waiting for you in room 109 to receive your donations. And please be guided by a checklist of what will be accepted or will not be accepted, or the items that, you know, you will be bringing. So just go to the church website. And outdoor worship begins next Sunday, May 24th at Whitmore Lake. And please check the schedule in the bulletin. As well as on May 31st at 4 to 7 p.m., author Colby Martin will be here at Brighton Church to share on how the scripture points to diversity and inclusion with his book, Standing Firm. And happening here, plant exchange that will be on May 23rd from 9 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. And next Sunday will be Pentecost Sunday. We are advised to wear red. I just don't know if we will allow those who doesn't. Sorry. Just joking. Just wear red, period. And so I invite everyone to please stand as we sing, Lord, Speak to Me.
Thank you. morning. Please join me in the opening prayer.
Lord Jesus, we are grateful for your leadership in our lives, even when it's not what we had planned for ourselves. Make us ready to hear your call and give us the boldness and the skills to walk in your ways. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Amen. I want to take a moment to see if we have some graduates of high school who are here today. I know there are a couple of folks who may be doing this at the 11 o'clock service. They might not be here at this moment, but we will honor them anyway. There will be some slides up on the screen, and we'll have a couple of folks who get blessed, I think, at the 11 o'clock service today. But today, we are celebrating the graduations of a couple of our students, Annie Hamilton, Heather Beck, Anna Green, Marley Simpson, Maria Mileto, and Maddie Moore, who are our graduates for today, and certainly celebrating folks who are finishing up college and graduating from graduate school programs as well. But we celebrate these six students who were giving thanks for today. And so we're going to celebrate in their honor, even though they may not be with us in person at this moment at this service. So I invite you to join with these words, which will be on the screen. Gracious God, we gather today to celebrate a milestone. We give thanks for the gift of learning, for the discipline shown by these graduates. We praise you, O God, for the minds you have shaped, the dreams you have nurtured, for the long nights of study, the challenges overcome, and the friendships formed. We recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Your wisdom is our foundation. Your grace is our strength. Today, we send these graduates into a world that is often hurting and in need of light. We commission them to be agents of justice, mercy, and peace. May they seek the truth that sets us free. May they use their knowledge to uplift the marginalized and heal the brokenhearted. As they step into new chapters, whether at a new school, a new workplace, or a season of seeking, remind them that they never walk alone. We, your church family, promise to hold you in prayer. We celebrate your past and hope for your future. Go forth with the courage of Christ and the curiosity of the Spirit and the love of the Creator. To the glory of God, who began a good work in you and will bring it to completion. Amen. I'm just going to invite you to join me in a round of applause for these students that we're celebrating today. Amen. We'll take a moment. There's a short little slide presentation with some photographs of some of the students that we will be celebrating in other services as we move through the rest of our morning. Let's just take a moment and look up at the screen. Amen. Amen. So we celebrate those students, and I don't know if you caught it on that first slide, that Maddie is running in the Cleveland Marathon today. So I pray for her endurance and strength and well-being. Good for her. Run fast and swiftly and pray for those knees. So thank you so much for allowing us to celebrate those great accomplishments of graduating from high school. Thanks be to God for the journey these students have been on and will continue to be on in the days and weeks and months ahead. Let us continue our morning of worship by continuing to sing this song, Walk With Me. Amen.
Thank you.
know, Moses has this thing where God asks him to do something. He goes, whoa, no. I personally have had that experience. It's like, oh, no, not me. But, you know, it happened anyway. So here we are. The scripture today is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, who was the priest of Midian. Moses led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why that bush is not being burned up. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called out to him in the bush, Moses, Moses! And Moses said, here I am. Then he said, come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. God said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. Now go. I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Liz, for reading the scriptures this morning. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who keeps calling our names. Amen. Well, as we continue this sermon series about being called and answering God's calling in our life, the last two weeks, we talked about people who excitedly sort of responded in the affirmative, and when God called their name, they're like, here I am, Lord, send me. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to drop my nets. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you would ask me to do. I'm here to show up. But Moses, on the other hand, is different. He has a slightly different response when God calls his name. And frankly, I find this response to be far more common in my experience in ministry. In fact, it very much so mirrors my own response to God. When God called my name, I was anxious and afraid and worried. And I was like, surely you want somebody else. Surely it would be better if somebody else said yes to this call that you have on their life. Are you sure? Me? Are you sure you want me to do this? And Moses gets confronted by God, and God says, I'm bothered, I'm worried, I'm anxious about my people. I made this promise to them that they would live in this land of prosperity, that life would be good for them, that it would be better, and they were enslaved. They were under the thumb of the Egyptian powers that be at that time, the Pharaoh. And so Moses is confronted, and he said, like, you know, here I am, Lord, but surely you ought to send somebody else. Moses is filled with doubts. He's filled with apprehension and worry and anxiety about whether or not God could actually use him. He says, who am I that you would use me? And then later on in the story, he says, who are you? Like, who are you? Am I sure that I'm talking to the right God? Maybe I picked up the wrong phone call. Maybe it's somebody else and I shouldn't listen to the Spirit. And then later on in the story, he says, what if they don't listen to me when I go and confront Pharaoh? And God continues to reassure him. And finally, Moses says, Like, couldn't you send somebody else? And that's finally the moment that God sort of breaks down and says, like, Moses, I've given you every reason why you ought to do this. And now at this point, I'm willing to send another person by your side. I'll answer your cry for having some assistance, some support. And so eventually Moses goes back to Egypt being supported by Aaron. But up until that point, there's this back and forth that goes on between God and Moses. And in my experience, that's pretty common. That's often the way that it works, is we hear God's voice and we go, I don't know, me? Are you sure? Maybe you should send somebody else. And am I sure that that's actually the voice of God? And what if you're talking to somebody else? Maybe there's another person that could do this. That's my favorite excuse. Like, surely there's somebody out there who's more fit or faster or better or can be more persuasive or has more energy, or perhaps somebody who doesn't have kids that they're trying to raise. It could be anybody else besides me, God. Anybody else use excuses when God calls their name? Okay, it's me and Liz. We'll just keep this sermon going between the two of us. You're the only hand that went up, so all right, we'll take this between the two of us, and we'll get better. We're not alone, by the way. George Washington did not want to be the president of the United States. In fact, all he wanted to do was go home and retire to his home on Mount Vernon. And he was adamant about this. He's like, surely somebody else can lead. I'm getting old, and haven't I done enough for this young country? And sure enough, he was elected president. Or you look at Ray Kroc, this guy who was a terrible milkshake salesman for most of his life, and eventually he decided to buy McDonald's at the ripe old age of, I think it was like 51 or 52 years old or something like that. And he decides to blow up this massive business, and now they've sold however many billion hamburgers they say on their signs. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but needless to say, he was running from his calling. Most Christian leaders, when you go back through the scriptures and through the history of the church, had some reluctance to answer their calling. John Wesley himself routinely wrestled with his faith as he was answering God's call into the ministry. He also said, surely you could send somebody else to the Americas, and surely there's somebody else out there that could preach to these colonists. They don't really want to listen to me, and I don't know if I can influence the lives of Native Americans. St. Augustine was a reluctant person. He said, God, please change my life in a couple of years in the future. I really like this life that I'm living right now. I hear your voice, and surely by the time I take my last breath, maybe your grace can transform me. But just wait until then. I'm not quite ready in this moment. Francis of Assisi was the same way. Mother Teresa, as her journal entries were uncovered, went through numerous seasons where she doubted and wrestled with whether she was supposed to be where she was. Maybe you've had moments like this as well, where you're pretty clear on where God's asking you to go, when you understand that there's a challenge or an opportunity to go out and do something in the world, whatever it might be, but you say, surely there's somebody else that can do this. For Moses, his responsibility was huge. To confront one of the most powerful leaders in the ancient world, to go literally before Pharaoh in this palace, in the house that he had actually grown up in. As you remember Moses' story, he was rescued and brought into power by the Pharaoh's family. And yet Moses, here he is, like, in the midst of this moment, being called back to a place that he had been banished from. It meant confronting his own past. It meant going back to a place where he was told if he returned to, he may have his life threatened. He wasn't allowed to go back. And so Moses eventually went. And did Pharaoh listen to him his first time? No. He went in and his fears were confirmed. Nobody was really interested in letting all of this free labor go. All of the Israelites were not allowed to depart in the first attempt at confronting the Pharaoh. And so Moses had to go back before Pharaoh multiple times. He had to continue to sort of muster up his courage to go back into this land and confront the Pharaoh, until eventually Pharaoh sets God's people free. Sometimes answering a calling is hard. Sometimes doing what God is asking us is a challenge, and we wrestle with it not only when we first get called, but sometimes we revisit that wrestling over and over and over again. I'm here to tell you, sometimes answering God's calling is exhausting. It's fatiguing. You don't know if you have the strength to keep on going. There may be ministries that you've been called to over the course of your life, and you're like, please, let me quit. Send somebody else along. I don't know if I can do this anymore. I'm running out of steam. I don't know if I have the passion or energy to keep going. Is anybody with me on that? A couple of you. Okay, now these hands are getting a little looser, and we can go up with that. I know that this has been true in my own life. There are moments where I literally feel like I'm standing in front of the burning bush and God's voice is incredibly clear to me. I'm grateful for those moments. I'm thankful for them because it was in those moments that I'm able to carry that voice of God into the valleys. You know what the valleys are like? Surely God's going to send somebody else to take up this mantle. The valleys sound like, I'm tired, my body hurts, it's aching, I don't know if I can keep going, the mental load is heavy, how are we going to raise this money to do this thing, I don't know, I think I've called everybody on my contact list, nobody else is coming. I remember when I first was starting a new ministry at Rochester St. Paul's, we are launching a new worship service, and anybody who's ever been a part of a new church start, there are moments where tons of people show up, and then there are moments that you're sitting in a restaurant by yourself having open hours time when literally not a single person comes. And that was me. I had decided to spend some time at a coffee shop called the Bean and Leaf. And I was sitting there and I had advertised and publicized, like, I'll be here from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon and anybody can come and I'd be happy to visit with folks. And I just sat there with my computer at a little sign out. And I even told the baristas, if anybody's looking for the new ministry that we're trying to start, like, please just send them over here. I'm like, I'm here. And every time that door opened, I would just like sit up. Is this a person coming to talk to me? And then I'd shrink down. Oh no, they just want coffee. Of course they do. And then the doorbell would ring again. The door would open and I'd sit up and oh no. So for 3 hours, I sat there by myself. It was me, myself, and I. And the Lord, thank you. I was not alone. Actually, that's exactly where I'm going to go next. It was me, myself, and I, and the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus's calling on my life. And sometimes that's enough to keep going. But I can tell you, in those moments, the thoughts that were going through my head is, oh, maybe I shouldn't be a pastor. Maybe I really am not called to start a new ministry. Oh, maybe this is going to fail, flop. Maybe this is going to go nowhere. And I remember that feeling, it's heavy. It weighs on you when you're sitting there by yourself. The next week, we decided to try something different. We decided to chalk all of the streets of downtown Rochester with things like, God loves you, which I don't really recommend because you will get a phone call from the local authorities about what you've chosen to do. Pastor John, we see your notes all over downtown Rochester. Did you get a permit for that? And I was like, I'm young, I'm new into ministry, I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to deface anybody's property, and this is your warning. Yes, sir. A couple days later, we decided to pass out water bottles because in Rochester, there's trails that people bike and run and recreate. They walk on all the time. And we passed out water bottles with the branding for our new service on it. And we probably passed out hundreds of them as they went by. Water was something people wanted when they were exercising. And so people excitedly took it. Oh, tell me about the service that said. I can tell you that in a couple of weeks, I went from, I don't know whether I should be a pastor. Maybe I ought to just quit. We probably shouldn't start this new service. This is a waste of time. Nobody's interested in religion. To, yes, we're reaching everyone in the town. And it was so great. Has anybody been on that spiritual roller coaster? Am I alone in this journey of like, sometimes God's voice is like, you are exactly the person that we've chosen. We're so glad that you're here. To, oh, woe is me. I don't know if I can do anything right. This is the spiritual journey. And as I've read the diaries and the stories of many spiritual leaders at all different kinds of levels, Many of them go through these twists and windy roads. Few are the people that can go through the entirety of life without doubt, without fear, without anxiety about not being good enough. So if you've ever had that voice going through your head, maybe you should quit, maybe it's not supposed to be me, you're not alone. The greatest spiritual teachers throughout history have all wrestled with the same kinds of questions: fear, isolation, uncertainty. Even Harriet Tubman, who is repeatedly going back into the South and rescuing people and bringing them to the North, as she reflected on some of her experiences after each and every dangerous trip, she said, "Maybe I'm done. Maybe that was my last trip down." And then all of a sudden, she got called to go back again, and so she went. In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, "I'm only a boy. I don't know if you should use me." In the book of Isaiah, he said, "I am a man of unclean lips." I'll let you figure out what that's all about. In the book of Jonah, when God calls Jonah to go to a certain place, he decides to literally run in another direction. And Gideon always asked for signs from God. "Show me that I'm not alone. Show me that this calling is real." Everybody's asking for affirmation and confirmation that they're on the right path. A couple of times in my life when I've been out hiking on a mountain, sometimes the trail markings get a little bit difficult to follow. And suddenly you wonder, am I going to the right place? Am I going to get there? Am I going to get to the mountaintop? Give me a sign. Give me some sort of illustration that I'm along the right path. Sometimes it's a smile. Sometimes it's somebody taking a bottle of water from you and saying, "Thank you. Tell me a little bit more about this ministry." As you go through life, one, I hope that you have some sort of burning bush moment. Maybe it's not literally that like Moses had, but I hope that there's a moment in your life where you sense that God's calling you to do something that may be bigger than your britches. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how you know that it's coming from God. When all of a sudden you go, "I don't know if I can do this," that is a pretty good sign that God's a part of it. The second thing I hope for you is that you wrestle with it, because sometimes those questions that you ask, that doubt, it's met with some sort of response or answer. When Moses says, "I don't know if I can do this alone," God sends help. All right? If you can't do it by yourself, I'm going to bring somebody by your side to help make sure that it happens. As you go through life and as you answer God's call in your life, I hope that you have a couple of mountaintop experiences where it feels like you're on the right path, where you see a stack of rocks that tells you that you're on the right trail, going to the direction that you're supposed to go. If you've ever been called in your life and you've said, I don't know if it's me, maybe it's somebody else, maybe not right now, perhaps later, I want you to know that you're not alone in that journey, but I hope eventually, in some way, shape, or form, that when God calls you to go to a place, eventually you'll go. When God says, "Follow me," I hope you'll say yes. In the midst of Moses' life, it transforms him. His yes transforms his life. He goes back and confronts Pharaoh, and eventually he's able to set his spiritual and his ancestors, his family free. The people of God, the Israelites, are able to be released out of bondage and into freedom. I wonder what God's asking you to do. In the midst of our church, there's all kinds of opportunities to serve, to get involved. Sometimes there's barriers. Sometimes there's time constraints. Sometimes there's energy constraints. But I believe with all of my heart that there's something, there's an opportunity, there's a yearning of your spirit that God's calling you to do something in the midst of our time. And I hope you have the courage to say yes. I'm so sorry, Carly, but I'm going to put you on Front Street since you're here today. Carly told me last week that she's going to be interning down at Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. And if you don't know Carly's story, Carly's studying to be an architect, and she's going to be working on designing homes, hopefully, in the city of Detroit and working with Reverend Faith Fowler. And I'm so excited for that opportunity. And when something like that comes along, there's so many different paths that people can take. People can say, "Yes, I'll go. Send me to Detroit. I'm so happy to go there. I can't wait." Other people might say, are you sure? I don't know if I should go there. I'm anxious. I'm afraid. It's a new spot. I'll be working with new people. I don't know. Are you sure you want me to go down to Detroit to work on these tiny homes and other projects? Trust me, Carly, Faith's going to have many more projects besides that for you to work on. It'll be unexpected and the joy of your life, and I hope you have so many stories to be able to share and tell and remember about your decision to say yes. So thank you for being willing to be used in a ministry and an opportunity that I think God has been a part of for a long time. All of you can say yes. It's easy to say no. And there are always reasons to say no. Instead, my hope is that you, like Moses, will take off your shoes and say, here I am, Lord. Your servant is willing. I will go. And the scriptures say, and so Moses went. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So I was figuring today as I was driving here that I have been in school for 48 years. I've experienced many graduations for myself and other students because I work in the school systems. And I work in a county in Shiawassee County, and actually the elementary school, one of the schools that I work in, the elementary school that I work in is one of the rougher elementary schools in the county. It has a very high at-risk population, very low income, all of those things that go along with just having some behavior challenges. So let me tell you a little story about Mr. Jack. So Mr. Jack is 20. He's been with us for a couple of years. So as you can kind of calculate, he came to us right out of high school. He came to us to help along with other people with behaviors that we have because we needed a little extra hands on deck. And his dad is actually the principal at our high school. So his trip going through school was kind of smooth sailing. He was a very good student. He graduated, and there were all of these, of course, expectations. He's going to go to college. He's going to, you know, whatever, all of these successful things. And he ended up not really knowing what he wanted to do. So his dad kind of said, hey, they need help over here at the rougher elementary school and with behaviors. And so he came to us. And Mr. Jack helps out on the playground to help prevent but also break up some fights. Mr. Jack kind of works with our toughest kids. He deals with a lot of rough times. And his first year, I said, Jack, I'm concerned that we're ruining you for children in the future. And he just kind of smiled. He's shy. And he smiled and nodded, and that was that. And then just a couple of days ago, I was standing next to Mr. Jack as he was getting kicked in the shins by one of our lovely first grade girls that was struggling. And he just had a very calm voice. He's learned a lot in the 2 years that he's been with us. And I saw him walking down the hallway with another little kid earlier in the week, and he just had his hand on their head and was just doing a lot of those behaviors that you would see a dad do with their kids. And I thought, oh, we're not ruining you, Mr. Jack. I think you're becoming who you're supposed to be. I think you're following where you're supposed to be led. And actually, I heard that Mr. Jack was thinking about going to college to become a teacher because he's seeing that this is his calling. So even though I've been in school for 48 years, I never get tired of seeing all the wonderful things that happen in schools. People that graduate and become led on the path that they're supposed to be. So that's how my prayer was led this week. So join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we gather here today in gratitude and celebration, recognizing the achievements of graduation. And we reflect on the journey that we have taken. And we reflect on your word that was shared with us today from Exodus, where you revealed yourself to Moses in the burning bush. Just as you called Moses to lead your people, we believe you have a unique purpose for each graduate. Lord, we thank you for the knowledge and wisdom that we gain. We acknowledge the hard work, dedication, and perseverance that have brought our graduates to their moment. And as they step into new chapters of their lives, may they carry with them the lessons learned and the friendships forged during their time in school, and may they find their calling like Mr. Jack. You are present in every transition, holding the timeline of our lives in your hands. We bring hearts full of praise for the milestones achieved and the answered prayers along the way. Thank you for the faithful supports, the mentors, families, and friends who have walked with us through thick and thin. We celebrate today, but we know the path ahead winds through difficult territory. We lift up those carrying heavy, invisible burdens every single day. Grant perseverance to those facing chronic illness, financial strain or broken spirits. Guide them through their wilderness and reveal a path to hope. When our brothers and sisters stumble under heavy burdens, give us the collective strength to help them get back up again. Remind us never to underestimate ourselves or others, for you see potential where the world sees weakness. Today's prayer quilts are for Mike and Jerry. You choose the fragile things of this world to display your profound strength, turning simple threads and material into anchors of faith. And today, each knot we tie as we leave the sanctuary, may we lift up the personal challenges, health issues, or burdens that are facing Mike and Jerry. May your grace be upon them and upon these quilts, warming, comforting, enfolding, and embracing every life they touch. We thank you for the privilege of being your hands and feet in the world that desperately needs your touch. Remind us never to underestimate the small acts of service we perform, for your power works perfectly through human weakness. Let our hands be quick comfort, quick to give, and open to hold those who are stumbling under life's heavy loads. And now let's take a moment to pray for what's on our hearts. And now let's pray together and say those words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive those who trespass as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May I ask the ushers? Church, your faithfulness in sharing your life, your time, your talents, and your gifts are remarkable ways of following Christ. Let us continue to give glory to God, the giver of everything. Amen.
Lord God, we bring our offerings out of gratitude for what you have first given us, ourselves, our times, and our possessions. Bless these offerings to bring strength to your people so that we can answer your call in this life. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, I have some good news for you. You're all going to beat the Catholics to brunch. We're ending service a couple minutes early, but as we close this service, I do want to give you a couple of reminders. First, I hope that you will wear red next week in celebration of Pentecost. And secondly, just this closing story. If you're not familiar with St. Ambrose, he was a bishop in Milan in the 300s, 350 years or so after Jesus was crucified. And St. Ambrose is kind of a fascinating story about calling, because when he first was elected to be a bishop of Milan, it took place in the following way. So a whole bunch of folks were gathering, and there was a big church fight after the bishop had unexpectedly passed away. And the big gathering of church leaders came together, and they were trying to elect a new bishop. And at that particular time, Ambrose was actually the governor from Rome, and he had just come to make sure that the church didn't tear itself apart. He was worried about conflict, so he said, "Let me just show up as part of the state to observe what happens here." And as the church was fighting amongst itself about who the next bishop was, a child in that particular gathering shouted out, "Ambrose for bishop!" And they all agreed. And Ambrose said, "I'm not qualified, I'm not ordained, I haven't been baptized, I'm not a Christian." And somebody else said, "Ambrose for bishop." It's not how we ordain people these days, but needless to say, at the end of that particular gathering, Ambrose was elected Bishop of Milan, and he served faithfully with powerful preaching. In fact, the story goes on that eventually there was this massive massacre that took place in a town called Thessalonica, and unfortunately this event happened, but Ambrose had grown in power and stature at that point that he had the courage to confront the Caesar of Rome, suggesting that if the Caesar himself didn't repent from this heinous action of allowing his own citizens to be brutally murdered in the streets, that he would refuse to offer communion to the Caesar of Rome. It started a theological precedent that even the most powerful rulers of the day were subjected to God's authority. Imagine if Ambrose had said no. He tried. In fact, the legend is that after he said, "I'm not qualified, I'm not baptized, I haven't been a part of the Christian faith," it says that he fled town. And people chased him down and said, "No, we elected you bishop. Come back and get in your office." And so he served. May it be so for all of you. May somebody be sent out after you when you run from God's calling in your life. You never know what the Holy Spirit is up to. She can be one bad sister. As you go out into the world, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.